Tonight we're going to start a new teaching. We'll have to see how it goes, exactly the direction the Lord wants me to take this. We're going to be talking about some things of the end times. For the last probably about 6 months or more, the Lord's been dealing with me about this, some of these things about the end times, of getting over and teaching about some things, especially for the time period we're in. We hear a lot of people talk about Jesus coming back, but one of the things it is many times people are very ignorant about it. I'm amazed how little teaching really is going on about it. People just keep saying it, but go on to everything else and all kinds of things. But we need to understand this is anything with the Word of God. There's a lot of people's belief and have a lot of beliefs on things, but beliefs don't matter unless they're in line with the Word of God. It's just our ideas. And many people have a lot of beliefs about the end times, but they're not scriptural. They're ideas that people have said, especially many things get passed on down through the years, and people say things. And over time, I was amazed. One of the things that I never began myself to ever in a search for about the end times stuff, but when I first got born again, there was a revival was going on at the time, and that kind of things, the charismatic renewal, the teaching and all that was going on. There was a move of God. And at that time, people were talking about the coming of Christ, and they were talking about things. And I, at that time, got born again. I was mostly just a lot of, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin's teachings. God had got me hooked up with him. And I was mostly listening to his teaching, but I would just do a lot of Bible reading. I was sitting down and I was born and raised around church, and like I said, I probably went to church more than all you guys ever put together growing up as a kid. I mean, we went to church constantly. It was a constant in church. And especially like in the wintertime when the churches would have these revival meetings, and each one in the denominational group would have them, we went to every one of them every night. During the wintertime, every night I went to church. You know, you went every night. And then, how many hundred times in between the stuff. And you went all the time. Well, you heard a lot about the Bible, and you heard things, and people quoted scriptures and stuff. But I was totally amazed when I started reading the Bible how much that they didn't know what they're talking about. But people would use scriptures because somebody else used scriptures, and they would talk and say certain things. But it was because of things that they heard. They never verified it was scripture. And so people got beliefs. And when I came into the kingdom of God, I began to read, and I was doing a lot of reading in the areas of the Gospels and things, that looking at things that Jesus said. And I was, because I was really interested in what Jesus said, I was really interested because I've heard a lot of things, I was interested in what Jesus said. And as I got reading through, I mean, there's certain things I just saw logically. I mean, to me, just seemed pretty easy to understand. But when I started to hear people talk about the end times, they would quote scriptures. They would always say this. Well, you know, the church isn't going to be here in the tribulation. They're not going to be here. We're going to go before the tribulation, and the tribulation comes. But every time they quoted scriptures for the church. They used scriptures that Jesus was speaking specifically about the tribulation. And I thought, what are these people talking? I mean, every time they opened their mouth. I mean, I'll never forget this. I mean, big name ministers that would, they'd be on TV and they would, oh, so-and-so is such a great teacher in the end times. And this guy's using all these scriptures that has to do with the tribulation talking about the church. And I'm there, what is going on here? I thought, this is crazy. But I realized people get saying things and they just pass it down the line. And everybody, you know, takes it, nobody checks it out. It's number one, people hate to say somebody's wrong. You know, I don't know. If you're wrong, you're wrong. That's it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I mean, let's get over it. Let's find out what's right. But anyhow, they would talk about things. And so I finally got so tired of listening to this stuff. After a while, it was on TV or some kind of thing or something, and end times, or had a book, I just ignored it. I told God, I didn't want to hear about it. I said, they're all over the place on this thing. I said, there's certain things of scripture so obvious, and they're just saying it out of context. And it's like I said, I don't want to hear any more about it. So, when reading and things in time, I would read over through things, but I didn't pay any attention to what anybody else was saying about it. I just thought, you know, because to me it was more confusing. And all these people are, oh man, all this was really great teaching. I'm thinking, oh man, where are they coming from? Well, I sort of thought things were weird. Well, then, I told the Lord I wasn't going to study the subject anymore, but he wanted me to know certain things. And so it was amazing to me because I'd be reading things. To me, it had nothing to do with the end times. But all of a sudden, I'd be reading along and studying something, and God would just come along and pop a revelation to me about things about the end times. And I was wondering, what's he doing this for? Why on earth is he talking to me about this? I didn't really want to listen to it. I didn't want to hear it. But he's talking to me about it. And he talked to me about it. I think, well, it's contrary to what everybody's saying. It's contrary. They're saying this and that. You know, and you keep talking to me about this. I said, that's why I quit listening to begin with. Because people were just all over the place. Now, that doesn't mean not everybody, you know, didn't know. But generally, people didn't know. They ran around saying things and quoting other people about stuff. And we have to watch that. I mean, I, you know, over the years have seen that. People go around quoting ministers on things, but have never checked out to find out if it was true. I don't care how much you like somebody. I don't care how much you think they're good. Quote the Bible. You know, it don't matter what they said. Is it in line with Scripture? Is it in line with God's doing? And that's really an important thing. It's one of the things, as I found over the years, is checking things out. I've learned this in ministries. Lots of times, even with ministers, and you have to check things out. Ministers not trying to be dishonest or anything like that, but they'll quote and say things, and they'll even, you know, things of people, and it's wrong. They never check to find out if it was true, or they tell a story about a thing, and if it turns out the story ain't even true, but they're quoting it as true. Nobody checks anything out. You know, it's a good story for their sermon, but they're letting people think things are true. I've heard all kinds of things saying people, miracles that were done and stuff like that. When I went to check out, find out, never happened. There's no proof anything ever took place. They can't find out who it was, but they get saying it around. You know, I don't care how good it sounds, and it sounds great, you know, that God did something, but if it's a lie, it's a lie. You know, and so you have to find out about things. And so what we're going to start tonight in our looking at things, because number one, we need to know things are true or they're based in truth. And that was one, number one thing. God is always going to found his things around the Word. And that's what we want to know, is that if you know the Word of God, then you can know things are true. One of the things that, you know, we're dealing with here in this last days is because we're going to look at things. When you deal with the subject, the last days, you know, there is the part about the church and God working in the church and the church going and things like that. But we have this tendency, and it's not good. But the average tendency for the average Christian is always drawn to hear something exciting that sounds great. And there's these things in the Bible that are going to take place and going to happen, and they're not exciting, and they're not great. And they're not good. But we ignore them. And we want to stay away from them. Yet the Bible's full of them that's telling us, warning us about the times. And this is one thing. This is why today the church is in such a mess, is because the church, in general, has not expected to happen what's happened. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to get worse and it's going to throw more people off. See, if you understand what's going on and happen, you'll know exactly what to do. There's no reason any Christian has to get nutty about the end times and fall apart. We don't have to. If we understand what the Word says, the Bible will always instruct us what to do, how to keep ourselves, how to walk, how we can be a success and follow God's plan in our time, even when everything else is falling apart. But you don't look at things like as if, I don't want to see any of the things about what's falling apart. Well, you better look, because if you don't, you're going to end up being one of the deceived. And the New Testament, concerning the end times, talks a lot about being deceived. A lot about it. But it's not read about and people don't teach about it. Because it don't fit the happy ending we made. We have the knight in shining armor is going to come and kiss, you know, Cinderella and wake her up. And that's what we got. You know, we have all of our things that we got, all of our stuff. You know, Snow White, sleep now. And so there's things that are ignored, but we don't want to ignore things. If we see and understand what's going on, we can live in success, and that's what we want to do. We have to live worry-free. That's the way you have to live. You cannot live by faith worrying, because we see things and that stuff. You know, the Bible says this, Jesus speaking of the end times, he said, Jesus said, men's hearts will fail for looking at the things that are going on in the earth, what they see happening going on, that they're going, their hearts are going to fail. Why? Because of their living by what they see. That's what you have. 2020 and anything. Then what they see has caused people to fail. And it's going to happen more and more and more because people who are not spiritual will live by what they see. That's going to be their guide. That can't be. The Word of God's always got to be our guide. The Word of God. And if we follow the Word of God, we're going to be fine. Now, what I want to look through is this, because the Spirit of the Lord, there's an area concerning a prophecy that you've heard me read numbers of times. I'm going to read part of it tonight from Kenneth Hagin from September 2nd, 1950. Because many times over the years, there's just different events and things that are happening that, you know, I just get a sense God will start to talk to me. Go back and read that, you know, go read that prophecy. Go read that prophecy. And I'll go back and read it. And some, you know, it's like I remember about 6 months before 9/11 it happened. The Lord started talking to me, and I had a sense something was happening. Something was going on. The Lord told me, He says, get that prophecy and read it. And so I get the prophecy and read it. Now, I never had any visions of planes flying into anything, but I knew that we were going to have a problem here in America. I knew something was coming. I knew something was going on. It's one of the things that I can just tell people that, and I've said this over the years, this is not bragging about a thing. If you just listen inside your spirit, I believe most people pick things up and they ignore it. It's there. You have to learn to pay attention to what's going on inside of you. And what concerns me, God has always shown me things and warned me of things ahead of time. When 9/11 happened, didn't surprise me at all. Didn't surprise me at all because I knew something was coming. See, God's preparing you for something that's coming. God, see this way, God never wants His people afraid or worried about anything. He's showing us ahead of time. That's why in the year 2000, when all these people run around and all the computers are all going to fail and the prophecy club's selling food to everybody and doing all these kind of things, acting like a bunch of idiots, living by what they see, and you know all this stuff is going on, God never once said a thing to me about anything bad happening. Not a thing. I had no sense at all. And so I tell people, say, well, what do you think about what's going to happen? I said, I don't think anything's going to happen. I said, God hasn't spoken to me about that. God hasn't spoken. I said, if it concerns me, He'll speak to me about it. He'll let me know. It's none of the words. I've always said that. See, you need to get the right voice on your mouth and not saying, well, God, don't talk to me about those things. Well, it's a good chance He'll never talk to you because you said He don't. If you're going to live by those things, well, don't live by those things. Learn to say, God speaks to me and shows me things. Now, this prophecy is really important because it deals with the end times. One of the things we need to know about this prophecy, is it really from God? Is it God or not? And one of the things we want to see, because when people prophesy and talk about things, they have to line up with the way God says. We might not have a word for word from the Bible, but we need it has to fall in line with the principles of the Word. That's what it has to do. You know, people, you know, generally we had, you know, the people listening to prophets. Instead of people listening to their spirit, going to God, trying to find out, we had, you know, all these prophets, all these big name ministers. Well, you know, Trump's going to be the next president, and they're all doing their thing. Well, how'd that turn out? See, nobody's checking anything out. Nobody's looking at a thing. All these people who said, I mean, I even watched them on video, said they had a dream or they had a vision. And you know what? Those guys are still running around today blowing off on stuff and saying God said. And you know what? The same dumb people are listening to them. People are stupid. I mean, Christians are dumb as a stick. You know, God misses it 47 times. They don't care. They just, this is my favorite guy, you know. And he says things I like to hear. He tells me everything is going to be all right. Well, when it's not, you know, he just tells me, and that's what I want to hear, you know. And that's scripturally accurate because it said, you know, it's written in the New Testament that Paul said they'll draw teachers to themselves. In fact, some of the translations said they draw teachers themselves to hear what they want to hear. Man, it is loaded with it in the church today. And see, this everything needs to be judged. Things need to be judged. You know, If you fall for that thing there, well, they all, judge not lest you be judged. Well, I'll tell you what, go ahead, don't judge them. See how things work out in life. You know, I've had people tell me, you're not supposed to judge. And I said, well, what did you do? You just judged me. Thought you weren't supposed to judge. Anybody thinks that scripture's talking about that, you ain't allowed to judge anything, is an absolute moron, an idiot. Ain't got enough brain between their ears to even breathe. It's a wonder they don't have them in an oxygen tent somewhere. I mean, it's so stupid. You know, it's crazy. But now we want to read about this because if this prophecy is correct, then the church needs to start to walk in line with it. The church hasn't. Up till this time, the church hasn't listened to certain things. You know, Kenneth Hagin had a visitation for, I think it was like 2 hours and 45 minutes. Back in 1987, Jesus appeared to him on Plan, Purposes, and Pursuit. And I was in Bible school at the time when that came out in 1987. And one of the things is that their book came out, you know, the Lord spoke to Randall Greer some, what was it, like 20 years later and said to him, he said, I have been trying to get my people to come in line with that, with the words of those prophecy, and he said, I haven't been able to get the church to do it. So see, God speaks things, but people, if it doesn't fit what people like, and see, it doesn't matter to me whether I like something or not. I have to know the fact that it's true. And if it's true, I better get like it. That's all I got to figure. But let's read about this. What happened was Kenneth Hagin had had a vision. Now, we're going to have the section we're going to look at here because we're not going to look at the whole thing. It is from the book, I Believe in Visions, is where it's from. It's Kenneth Hagin's book. It was written in 1984. But I'm going to read from a vision he had. And this vision, the part we're going to look at is what has happened. He was caught up in the spirit, and he was caught into a place, and he said he was like standing on a plain, and he said that for as far as he could see in any direction, he said everything was desolate. He said he couldn't see a thing, and then eventually he saw way out in the distance a real small dot moving, and as it got closer, it was a horse and a guy riding on it, and when he got closer, he could see that the man had a scroll in his hand holding it over his head, and he handed it to him. And this is about reading from the scroll. He's reading from this scroll. And this scroll says, it says, the scroll was written in the first person and seemed as if Jesus himself was speaking. He said, I read, America is receiving her last call. Some nations already have received their last call and never will receive another. Now, I want you to understand this. We're talking about this. This took place in September 2nd, 1950. And the report reminded me of something today. I didn't think about this. We have entered the 71st year since this happened. When you're talking about sevens, that's important in the Bible. We're coming to the end of this thing. Now, God, when we talk about God, when God speaks about things being close, and like we talk about, it's America receiving its last call. See, people take a period of time, but Peter made the mention about the last days, and he said this. He said, this is what people forget. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And it's interesting because you find, when you follow the scripture, the number seven is used more in scripture than any number. And there's a purpose in that. You know, in 7 days, the earth was created. And especially even multiples of seven show up so many times. But seven's the number of completion. And if you follow through scripture, how many times, you know, like, If we take it, what do they do? We'll look at some things like with Noah and stuff where seven enters in. We have passed, and we're looking at 70, and we're into the 71st year. In fact, the 71st year will be fulfilled in its fullness this September. And so God is speaking, is 1,000 years is the day. When we look at creation, it was a little less than 2,000 years when the flood came. And then the flood came, then the law came, and the law came on through, and that ran up to a 4,000-year period. There's been a 2,000-year period of the church age. And now we're running out on the end of the church age to the seventh day, which is the millennium. We're at the end of this thing, of what Scripture teaches. We're down to the end of it. And this is what people need to understand, because this prophecy speaks specifically, especially if it's speaking to America, it's speaking to you and I right now. This is about us. We're in this country. Now, God put out a last call. Now, we don't like to have this because, listen, it says, he goes, and it says, and then large print it said, The time of the end of all things is at hand. This statement was repeated, he said, four or five times just also, and he said was the last great revival. This is the last great revival. But so, in other words, we're at the end of this started. He started the end of things. Now, we look back, we say 7 years. With God, that's nothing in time. But we need to understand with us here on the earth, it may seem, but you know, I found this out in years. I mean, I'm 71. I'm into my 72nd year. I mean, time has sailed by. Now, I was born in January 1950 when I said, my life is running down, my life's concerning the span of this prophecy. And we need to understand some. Time goes by quickly. And you know what's one of the things? Loads of people that aren't ready for Jesus today will not be ready. They'll never get ready. Because they keep letting time pass. And you keep on your same path, you'll let time pass, and you'll just always think you got time. People are not listening today. See, this prophecy's been out here for how long? And I'm going to tell you what, the church ain't been listening. In fact, the church got more deaf today than it was back then. A lot more deaf. So, he goes on to say, he went on to say, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the church in these last days. He said, the church will do greater things than even the early church did. It will have greater power, signs, wonders than were recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. Now, we know that that hasn't come to place yet. I mean, there's a lot of great things during the healing revivals and different things, but we haven't outweighed the apostolic ministries of the book of Acts. We haven't outweighed them. And so, he goes on, he said, it would be greater signs and wonders. We're recording the books of Acts of Apostles. He said that we have seen and experienced many healings, but we will now behold amazing miracles that have not been seen before. He says, Jesus continued, more and more miracles will be performed in the last days, which are just ahead, for it is time for the gift of the working of miracles to be more in prominence. We now have entered into the area of the miraculous. Now, we haven't seen the working of miracles in operation really in the fullness of state. We have not seen that. We've seen it at times at places like that. Azusa Street had a lot of miracles, but that was a really localized thing. That wasn't like a national worldwide thing. That wasn't anything from a national standpoint or anything like that. We had spots and things that have happened at times. Now listen, this is what now we need to understand this. This is speaking concerning this time period to the end. Many of my people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Well, you know, we can see, if we look today at the whole church world, majority of the church world don't accept the move of the Spirit, doesn't accept the things of the Spirit, don't accept gifts of the Spirit, they don't accept, you know, baptizing the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, they don't accept it. See, we don't like to deal with these things because these are things people don't like to listen to. Because, well, we preach these, it'll upset people in other groups, and if they hear these things, we got to sit down and say, hey, let's put a pair of pants on and be something other than a bunch of whiners and complainers and scared somebody ain't going to like us. Ain't nobody getting saved if we don't start preaching the truth. Amen. Nobody's getting saved. You can tell them how much Jesus loves them, and they'll accept this stupid gospel that has nothing in it, and they just live on. And see, we're trying to pat and pet people, and people are on the door of destruction. We're willing to let them go to end up in hell over they might not like us if we say the wrong thing. Oh, my. I didn't know they liked me anyhow. So I didn't. So many might be, he says, many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin, but follow the word of God and the spirit of God and me, and you will not be deceived. I am gathering my own together and am preparing them for the time is short. So he said, my own together. So, you know, some people say, well, you know, what about these people? Many are not going to be ready. Well, are they still going to go to heaven? I'll tell you what, I wouldn't count on it. See, there's many people, you know, they use the name of Jesus. But it's just like Jesus said, they're going to come and say, look, I did this in your name and I did that. And he's going to say, go away, I don't even know you. This isn't about, salvation's not fire insurance. That's right. That's not what it is. I got saved and I just get by. You know, I'm just going to get by out of this thing. That's not what it is. This is a life to live. I've told people this, their face, right? I told them, don't accept Jesus if you're not going to live this thing. It is no good. The Bible says, and this is scripture, you're better off not knowing. If you're not going to follow, you're better off if you hadn't known. Now, is that guy going to end up in heaven? How could it be better off? If he's going to end up in heaven, well, what does it matter what he did? But it don't seem the Bible thinks that's all right. He says they're better off if they hadn't known. It's like, oh, that don't sound good. See, this is what about following. But see, but you know, the Bible, we want to stick with the Bible on these things. He said, there were several other exhortations to watchfulness, to awaken and pray, and do not be deceived. Then I read, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man be. As I spoke to Noah and said, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, in every living substance that I have made, will I destroy from off the face of the earth. So today I am speaking and giving America her last warning. America's getting... 1950, he said he's giving America's last warning. Boy, the church don't believe this stuff. The church is not like acting like America's got a warning. He said, I've given America its last warning and call to repentance. And the time that is left is comparable to the last 7 days of Noah's time. He said, now listen to what Jesus said. Warn this generation as did Noah his generation. Why? Now here is a dirty word, and it's not a four-letter one, but it's a dirty word in the church. For judgment is about to fall. See, we don't believe in judgment. No. He said judgment's about to fall. See, we've had things of judgment falling in this nation, and it keeps getting closer. It's on top of us, and people keep going. They think it's natural things. Natural things of events and that kind of stuff. Things that we're under judgment because we aren't under God's protection. You can't be under. Did you watch that video that I? Man, don't that. About turn your stomach. I don't know if you've seen the video about the University of Pittsburgh and their abortion things and their what they're doing, experimenting on aborted babies, which has been hit. I'm going to tell you, it is so gross you just wouldn't believe it. And we're paying for it. This idea, taxpayer money don't go with it. The biggest lie, they're giving these colleges money. This is a state university. And they're out there doing some of the most gross, terrible things, horrible things to aborted fetuses. There are some of them are being born alive, and they're torturing them and doing all kinds of stuff. And we live in a pagan country full of pagan people, and many of the Christians are pagan because they don't bother them at all about any of this stuff going. They don't care about it. And we don't realize God sees it all. There's going to be answers to this stuff. You know, you don't get by without answering to this stuff. It says, and these sayings shall be fulfilled shortly, for I'm coming soon, Jesus repeated. This is the last revival. I am preparing my people for my coming. Judgment is coming. But I will call my people away, even unto myself, before the worst shall come. In other words, he said, before the worst. So this what stuff is going on ain't the worst. Before the worst shall come. But he says this, what? But be thou faithful, watch and pray, for the time of the end of all things is at hand. It goes on things from there. But what we want to look at is the things here said. Are these things that Jesus said to him? Are these just something said to him? Or does Scripture verify these things? And we want to look at these, some of these things, because they're important. And as we're going to go on in these teachings, we're going to look at the fact, because of Noah, what the Bible says about Noah, and concerning judgment. We want to look at the fact. We're going to look about, because he talked about deception, and we're going to go look at Scriptures about deception, because it's loads of it about the end times and deception. And so we have a lot of things we can look at that talk about, that verify that this is in line with the Scriptures concerning the end times. So we know that these things are true. Then if it's a true prophecy, we better start getting in line with it. we best start getting in line, get our faith lined up. I don't care what somebody else is preaching and saying. If it's in line with the Word, they better change their preaching. Because we need to understand there's things, like Paul talked about, we'll look at about perilous times. It's going to be in the end times. He didn't say everything's going to be working out really great and really nice. There's one of the, you know, we have today, you know, they're all upset about, you know, what's going on and trying to shut the mouths of Christians and everything like that. Persecution's coming. The devil ain't going to lay down and just, you know, he wants to shut your mouth. And if he can do it, if a law will make you shut your mouth, he'll get one in a hurry. And so we need to make decisions, and we need to decide, you know. People are going to have to figure out what they are and who they are, if they really are what they say they are. And so we're going to have to look at those things. Now, in the book of Genesis, we want to look at, because looking at Noah's time period, it's important that we see something. Now, this is one of the things, is this teaching, is we're talking about the last 7 days, because the Lord spoke to me about it. He said, this is comparable to the last 7 days of Noah. So Jesus said, these last days that we're in are like the last 7 days of Noah. That's what he said. So to him, it's like the last 7 days of Noah. So we want to look here in Genesis, the 7th chapter. I'm just going to read part of the thing. We're not going through the whole thing with Noah. But we want to look at something here. Because Noah had built an ark and things, and he had gotten this ark ready. Noah spent about 120 years building this ark. 120, can you imagine? It's 120 years. He was building an ark for 120 years. He's building a boat with no water. And he ain't building, you know, an 18-footer. This guy is building a major ship. It's huge. I mean, just the dimensions of it and things you find is enormous. He is building this thing, so it was not built quickly. One of the things that people need to understand is for some reason, people have this idea, you know, like people were almost like cavemen or something like that. You've been listening to too much science. You know, you need to understand that Adam was created from God, and even though Adam fell in sin, you know, man immediately learned how to work in metals if you read the book of Genesis. This is why, you know, you sit and listen to scientists, you know, you'd believe, you know, that they were living in caves for 2 million years and finally figured out how to make something. Well, I'm sorry, it didn't happen like that. Now, you can say, well, I believe the scientists. Well, go ahead and believe the scientists and, you know, you throw God out or whatever you want to. But these people weren't ignorant. They weren't sitting around, didn't know how to do stuff. We act like, you know, there's plenty of things that people knew how to do 1,000 years ago that people can't even do today. And they knew how to do them. I mean, the Egyptians, without any of our equipment or any other things, built pyramids, and the foundation of those pyramids are almost perfect. They're almost perfect. And you know what? We can't even lay out today something that size and lay it out and build it with the amount of weight on that thing to keep it that level. Can't do it. We don't know how to do it. We think we're so bright and smart today. We don't realize how stupid we are. You know, I saw where a guy really pulled one on him because they were talking about these people. Somebody from outer space had to come and do it. And that's what all these engineers and stuff, you know, were, well, nobody could do this thing. So this guy told them, because, you know, the Japanese tried this. The Japanese bought in all this heavy equipment and stuff, and they used blocks the size of these, and they were trying to do this thing and laying out with all this heavy equipment. They couldn't do it, and they said, you can't make this stuff work, and you can't get the foundation flat. They were doing this whole thing. And a guy came along and told him, said, I can get you a perfect level foundation. Let's say, how are you going to do that? He said, just give me stakes and string. I will make you a perfect one. So he laid it out. And what he did is he had a thing to measure. He measured with the string, using the string. He laid out in the place he wanted to do it. Put stakes in the ground, made the thing perfectly square. Turned around, took the thing in the center of it, dug the whole thing out, put stakes inside it, marked. Each stake was marked at the same level. Filled it up with water up to the place of stake. He said, now everything's level. Where it's level here, they marked the stakes. He said, now we drain the water out. He said, you put all your fill in up to that with those lines of stakes. You have a perfectly flat area. Engineers from all these colleges couldn't figure that out. Why? Because all they had was, if your computer can't figure it out how to do it with a machine, you can't do it. It's not there. And it's amazing. But we live in this place and in this kind of thinking. It's like we act like Noah, you know, this would have been, how'd he do this thing back at that time? I believe Noah was probably a lot smarter than a lot of the people today in doing it, because he built it. But anyhow, he's Noah. He says here, you shall take with you. Now, God told him, God says, come into the ark. God told him, then Noah said, come into the ark, all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and a female, 2 each of animals that are unclean. Okay, I did, my thing jumped on me there. All right, coming back. Okay, which are unclean, a male and his female. He said, also 7 each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep species alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days, he said, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord had told him. Now, we want to need to understand this. God, now, there was one that Noah was a righteous man, number one. We need to understand about this. We want to talk about righteousness. He was a righteous man. Righteousness has always been by faith. It always is. And faith is what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Noah was righteous because he did this. God spoke to him. He knew what God said, or he knew the word of God, and he did it. That's righteousness. Righteousness is to believe what God says, then to act like it's true. That's righteousness. Now, Noah walked in the revelation of God that he had. Anybody can walk righteous before God if we walk in the revelation we have. What God revealed to us, we believe it, and then we walk in it, that there is righteousness. And so, it's important we understand that. It wasn't that Noah, we talk about, because we're going to read some other scripture about Noah, and it uses the word perfect. When we understand, you are perfect before God on the basis of faith, not on the basis of you do everything right, because you don't even know everything to do everything right. You know, I mean, it's impossible for you to do everything in perfection because you don't know everything. So the only way that we can walk before God perfectly is to walk in the revelation we have, believing Him and acting on what we know, doing what we know to do. It isn't rocket science, and it ain't even hard to do. See, most people, what they have is they're looking what somebody else is doing and trying to, well, I can't do that, so I must not be as good as they are. So, no, you walk in the revelation you got. You worry about what you got. You live in what you got, and God will take care of you. Walk in what you know. If the other guy knows more, well, that's him. He's responsible for that. But you can only walk in the revelation that you have. And if you do, you're perfect before God. You're righteous. So we want to do that. Also, we want to see there's a pattern of things here we want to pick up, because this has a lot to do with the end times. We see that God had Noah go into the ark 7 days before the rain. He said, go in. 7 days before, and he said, it's going to rain. So Noah went into the ark 7 days. Now, can you imagine people? He goes, gets in the ark day after day. Could you see people out there? They went inside. You ain't doing nothing. You know, everybody's having a good time. But 7 days. Now listen to this. God said concerning the time that we're living in is like a 7-day period. God sent Noah into the ark 7 days prior. God called Moses up on the mountain, and he was up there 40 days. Do you know the Bible says that he was there 7 days before God spoke to him? He entered in for 7 days and set. He set for 7 days before God spoke to him. See, he entered in for 7 days. See, we need to understand, the Bible has patterns of things. And we need to understand these things. God works in patterns. He has never changed how He does stuff from the beginning to the end. And if people don't understand that, you look back at the beginning. God reveals the end from the beginning. That's what He does. That's what the Bible says. So we look back, we see how He did things. He's the God that changes not. He's going to be doing the same things down the line. He don't change. See, the Bible's not hard. It's what people think is hard. We get our ideas. We complicate God. God operates very simply because we're pretty simple. We can't. If he gets real complicated, we'll never get we'll be a mess. But God this is why we can follow God if we follow the principles that are laid out like he does things. But God followed the pattern. In other words, God was telling this and spoke this prophecy to Kenneth Hagin for a purpose for the church to get in the ark. He's told them, get ready. We're leaving. And the church hasn't done it. You see, we're supposed to be. This whole thing is about getting in the ark. Why? Because whoever is in the ark is going to avoid destruction. Is going to avoid judgment. People who are outside, I don't care if they're a Christian. If they haven't come into the ark, they ain't going to make it. People need to understand it. This is a principle that follows all along in the scriptures. And so we need to see this. So God, we find that Noah, he went in and said, Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him. Now, I want you to see this because we want to look at something. Jesus used this same principle. In Matthew 24, I'm going to read you some scriptures. Now, we're going to look at it from this standpoint, because in Matthew 24, we're probably maybe as we study along more in this, I don't know how long all this is going to go on or how long the Lord's going to have me teach in this area. I'm just told him, I told him I'll do what he wants me to do. Now, in Matthew 24, if we read the whole chapter, if you read that whole chapter, and we're going to eventually, I would like to go over to that, if the Lord willing, because that whole chapter deals with Israel during the time of tribulation. It doesn't deal with the church. It's talking about Christ coming. It's talking about God, Christ's second advent. See, whenever it comes around when Jesus is born, you know, we celebrate Christmas. Do you ever notice the churches do, this is the Advent season. You heard the word Advent? Well, you know what that means? That means his coming. Jesus coming to the earth. Now, the Bible talks about a second advent. Now, they use that word advent that comes out of the Latin. Advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ, is not coming for the church. He don't come to the earth for the church. The church meets him in the sky. He does not come to the earth. His second advent is when he comes to the Mount of Olives and comes back to the earth to establish his kingdom and the thousand-year reign. That is the second advent. See, people get mixed up. A lot of Christians get over to the second advent as Jesus coming for the church. No, it's not. The church is a whole different ball game. And this is why you have to know, and I'm always so thankful, Brother Hagin, you know, his teaching and saying, you have to know who God's talking to in the Bible. There's three different groups of people. There's the world, the lost, or he is speaking to the Jew, or he's speaking to the church. Who's he talking to? You have to know that. And so, really, one of the things that you'll find this out in Scripture, there has been no revelation about the church, and it really, the church being taken to the Apostle Paul and his writings. If you don't know the Apostle Paul's writings, you don't know much of anything about the church being taken. You don't know about it. That's where that revelation's come from. Because up until that time, that's why when Jesus was leaving on the Mount of Olives, the disciples said, hey, hold it, when do you get the kingdom? When are you going to set up the kingdom here on earth? What's that going to happen? Because that's all they could. Why? That's all they understood and knew. They didn't understand. They didn't understand the church age. They had no idea about this thing. That's why Peter wrote and said, Paul writes things that are hard to understand. He said that. We have it in Scripture. Why? Because it was contrary to the way they were taught. But the things, we can see the types and the shadows of those things. Because see, we see just like we see Enoch. Enoch, before the flood, before the judgment of the flood, Enoch's taken. Now, we know that people knew Enoch left because the Bible says this, that he was taken. He said that God took him. Well, now, how on earth would anybody know God took him unless they knew God took him? See, he was taken. Well, we see Israel. If we go over to Israel, now when I'm talking about Israel here, I'm talking about the 10 tribes of Israel. There was Judah in the days of Elijah. There was Judah, which was two tribes. It was the tribe of Judah and Benjamin were together. And that was where the temple was. And then there was the 10 tribes, which they were called the southern tribes. They were the ones who, there was 10 tribes of Israel, and they were over there. Samaria was their capital, and they were really living heathen. So what does God do? God turns around, and Elijah comes along, and Elijah, you know, God used him, but Elijah's going to be taken. And so, in really, there's a really good revelation in this, if you understand, because Israel was a mess. Israel was like the United States today, living like hell, just doing their thing, people calling themselves Christians and living as devilish as you can. And it was going on, and God's trying to turn them around. And Elijah gets taken. See, because judgment's going to come. Now, before judgment, God don't throw Israel under the bus. You know what he does? It's what he's going to do today. He sent a prophet with twice the anointing. That's what he did. God sent a prophet, Elijah, who had a double portion of Elijah's anointing. See, we would think, well, judgment's coming, God's going to... No, God's going to still give a... He's giving the last call. He's given the last call. See, those patterns never change in the Bible. They never change. Jeremiah, we have Isaiah, we have Ezekiel and all those prophesying. Jeremiah was the last call in Jerusalem. He was the last call. Well, they didn't take it. They didn't like it. And they fell. But see, what did God do? Things are all messed up. He didn't throw them under the bus. He sent a prophet to them, give them the last call. See, God's the last call, dude. God was always going to give another, he'd give another opportunity. He'll do it today. Today is no difference. This is last call time. God is going to give a last call in here. He's going to give a last call to this nation. We're in a last call. And we seem like we're running out. But I'll tell you what, we're running down close in the inch. We're 71 years past this thing. I'm going to tell you what, we're running up close on this thing. We're the last of the last. We're running down close on the end of this thing of going. People need to understand what's happening. And there's judgment coming, and nobody's talking about it. The church is silent. The church is silent. And I'm going to tell you what, especially when the church leaves, they're going to witness hell on earth here. It's going to be hell on earth. Nobody's going to be sitting around who heard about Jesus before knocking Christians once that happens. They're going to wish they were on the boat going out. Those days will be gone. But so anyhow, we'll go back over here to this. In this, Jesus is talking concerning the move of God. We want to see, because Jesus himself says to the Jews, he's telling his disciples about the end of his second advent. This is about his second advent. And this is what he says about the second advent. This is when Jesus shows up and hell on earth is starting to happen. Hell on earth is starting to happen here. It is going on. Judgment is falling. Judgment is falling. And Matthew 24, verse 38 says, "For as in the days before the flood, what they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be." So in other words, the same kind of thing is going to be going on in the earth when Jesus shows up for his second advent. So in other words, Jesus uses the pattern of Noah is going to be the same. Here Jesus spoke, we just read a thing, Jesus spoke concerning the church and used the same pattern, Noah. Why? Because the tribulation's coming, judgment's falling. Judgment's falling. Why? It's going to be the same pattern. It's not going to be different. The heathen, the people that won't listen, are going to keep living like nothing's going to happen. The people who are deceived and Christians not deceived and following God are going to be walking like it's still happening. There's the sayings. I mean, think about this. I mean, in the scriptures tell us, if we read over, and Peter made mention, is that eventually we'll, not tonight, but we'll go to that, where Peter says, the last days they're going to come and scoff. They're going to say, hey, hold it. Nothing's changed. You know, it's just like it was when our fathers were here. And they said, nothing's changed. That's exactly what people are going to do. I've had Christians make statements. Oh, these people always say Jesus comes back. I've had Christians say that. And I think, yeah, one day I'm going to be gone and you're going to wish you'd have never said that one to me. And you're going to try to deal with Jesus one day, and you have to look him in the face and tell him he wasn't coming back. And then try to convince yourself you're going to end up in heaven. Think if you're going to end up there. See, people play these games. The Bible's either true or not. Amen. It matters every bit what you believe. Amen. Every bit what you believe. And people who don't believe it, they believe Jesus is a liar, he ain't coming back. I won't be in that boat. I don't want to face him with that one. You know, I got enough to deal with. I got enough to deal with. We ain't going to that one. But these are the words of Jesus. So Jesus said the same pattern falls out on the end times when I'm going to come and set up my kingdom. It's the same as just when the judge. You know what? It never changes. It never changes. It's the same thing. The same pattern all over again. And so we can see it. It's a wonderful thing because we can look at the Word. We can tell how things are going to be. It's one of the things with them. If we go through, and which I hopefully get to do, is go through the 24th chapter of Matthew, is the fact that we're going to be dealing with the fact God gives warning for them not to be deceived, what they have to do, what they need to do to be ready. So God is telling them what to do. So in other words, they can see certain events happening. They know what to do to enter safety. They know what to do. See, God never leaves people not to know. We're the herald of what to do. See, right now, if the church, if Christians don't enter the ark, there ain't no place for the sinners are going to follow. If the Christians keep living like nothing's going to happen, like everything's going on, they're living like, you know, we're not leaving. We're living like we're not leaving. We need to start living like we're leaving. We're not. We're not living like we're leaving. We're living like we're staying here forever. And it's one of the things the Lord did. It goes back to into 1987 when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and told me I had preached a sermon in the church that I was with. I was in at that time before I went to Bible school, and they had me preach the Sunday before I left. And one of the things is I talked about, you know, the coming of the Lord, and the Lord had spoke to me and said to me, he said the message that his return, he said in the time that he's coming back, he said the main message is going to be for the church telling people they're going to leave, that they're leaving, they're getting ready to go. See, the church is not telling, the church isn't planning on leaving, because we're not talking about leaving. See, it's one thing is if we believe some of these things, we're going to start talking about leaving. We need to get over there. Number one, we need to come in faith with it. Because if there's things that we don't come in faith with, there's things of the move of the Spirit we won't see. There's things in the move of the Spirit that are only going to take place when people start moving in line with God's plan. There's anointings will come on people, it'll blow people's minds, but they ain't going to come just fall out of the heaven on somebody when people are just walking around in general down here. It's not going to happen in that manner. So we're following the same pattern. So Jesus gives Kenneth Hagin a vision and tells him the same pattern. It's the same exact pattern. Why? Because it falls in the same way. It's all God doesn't work different. Just like in Noah, the 7 days, he finished doing, he preached beforehand, the whole thing is preached, but it's important for us to understand it's time, there's a time for us to move in. There's a time for the church to start to move into its position to where it's supposed to be. Is getting out of the world. You know, it's one of the things that Charles Capps, in a book that he did about the end times, he had done a number of years back before he went home to be with the Lord, but he had a vision. In the vision, he saw a funnel of light, and that funnel of light came down. But the light came down, but as it got toward the bottom of the funnel, the light became more intense and more bright in the center. And in it, he saw Christians walking, and the Christians were walking down through to the funnel. And he said Christians would walk and walk. He said where they were walking up here, they were in light. But when they got down here, he said they're walking in darkness. And he said because if they didn't move over in the light and stay in the light, they ended up in darkness. And he said Christians were ending up in darkness and not walking in the light and following. And see, this is where it happened today. See, God's moving in a direction. And people need to understand that God's calling people to come to the light. We need to understand how important it is. God, you know, God has given over the last, from the time that Kenneth Hagin had this vision in 1950 till today, there has been more revelation given of the Word of God than probably most men knew in all the centuries before. And there's, God holds people to it. God's going to hold people in this nation to what's been preached. He don't care if they said they didn't believe it. Tough. It was preached. And he's going to hold them to it. Christians are going to be held to what they heard and didn't do. They're going to be held to it. There's a light. And see, we need to get ourselves in line with this, get ourselves in line with the Word of God. In Genesis 6, it says this concerning Noah. It says in 6, and just in verse 9, it says, it's telling us, it opens up, and it's talking about the gene. It's going to show the genealogy of Noah, but it says, Noah was a man, was a just man. He said, perfect in his generation. It says, Noah walked with God. This short statement tells us a lot about the man. It tells us a lot about him. In other words, it says, Noah what was just man. That word just could also be translated just or righteous. He was a righteous man. It says also, he says he was perfect in his generation. See, in his generation, I want you to ever think about this. We're talking about all the people on the face of the earth. Now, we're talking about mankind living. Now, these people were living. It's just like, if we look at Adam, he lived 900 some years. We have Methuselah. These people lived huge long times. Now, when we talk about producing children and doing stuff, in 1800 years, how many people could have been produced on the face of this earth? I mean, we know lifespan like today. I mean, dear Lord, the amount of people that could be produced on the face of this earth. I mean, think about Noah and his family. It was Noah and his wife, three sons and three wives. That's all lived. That's all came out of it. That's it. Everybody else perished. Everybody else perished. Now think about this. Elijah. Elijah said, man, I'm the only guy left. Now I want you to think about it. 10 tribes of Israel, and God said, no, you're not the only guy left. I got 7,000 that didn't bow their knee. 7,000 out of 10 tribes of Israel, and only 7,000 people hadn't kissed Baal. He only had 7,000 in the whole nation who followed him. 7,000. I wonder what America's really like today. I'll tell you, if God could show us, I guarantee you most of Christianity would fall over shocked. There's not as much God-fearing as people think. I mean, 7,000 out of the 10 tribes, that would not even made 1%. I mean, how many people were in the earth at that day? And 8 people made it out. And you know what? Those 8 people only made it because of one man. Lord dealt with me with that. When I first got saved, I lived a very heathen life. I was living like hell and that stuff. I came up in a path. I was taught better than what I lived. I can't blame my parents' religion for it, you know, because they would have never, my parents would have never done the things that I did. But when I got saved, one of the things that really got me was the fact of, I asked the Lord this. I said, Lord, you know, all the things that I did, and I mean, as a sinner, I did a lot of crazy things, and from overdosing to I did things, I should have ended up dead. And I said, you know, I went to Nam and came back, never got hurt. I said, man, I got through things. I just, amazing. And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I have friends that are dead. They never made it. And I said, here am I, why am I alive? And I'll never forget this. The Lord said, you're alive because your dad, he walked right before me, and you're alive because of him. You see, my dad didn't know everything about the Word. There's a lot he didn't know. There's a lot he was strange about. But what my dad knew, he lived. My dad lived. My dad walked in what he knew. He wouldn't turn from God for nothing, for nobody nor nothing. And the Lord told me, he said, I'm alive because of him. He said, you're alive. He said, and this is what the Lord said. He said, just as I spared Noah's family, he said, I didn't spare them because they were righteous. I spared them because he was righteous. That's why you want to live right. Don't you get over and think, I'm going to tell you, your children can end up in hell because you refuse to live righteous. You better learn to live righteous. That's what I mean. I live righteous. That's what God dealt with. My family was going to hell because of the way I was living. And that's what the Lord told me. He said, your family's going to end up in hell because of the direction you're going. They said they're going to follow you. Hallelujah. And I walked with God, and my family walks with God. Hallelujah. That's why we walk with God. If you're walking God just for you, just get out of here and go do something else. Anyhow, it don't matter. Ain't worth it. It's about other people. Hallelujah. Noah walked with God, saved his whole family. Hallelujah. So follow God. Amen. Get them in the ark.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you, you walk, and I will tell you, you watch concern and following. You walk right. You do what's right. You know, they might not always cheer you for it and like what you're doing. I remember my kids, you know, they said, no, but I remember my two daughters, they got together. My one daughter talked to me about, she said one thing. She said, Dad, she said, you always did what you believed. You always walked in what you believed. She says, one thing is they saw it. It wasn't something just said. It wasn't about just taking to church. Living what you say you believe. Walking in it. And so they looked at somebody that follows. See, we don't have a lot of people today. I mean, we look from our government people to everybody and all kinds of things. People call themselves Christians. And they're just, their path is like this. Their path is just all over the place. They're believing this time and it's okay. Then the next, well, now we're over here in this because this is the way society's going, see. And this is over here in this way. And that's, I'll tell you, society don't move me. You know, Kenneth Hagin, you see, he said, I'm like concrete, you know. He said, I'm well, what is it? Stirred and well set. There's things about we have to. Now, I want you to understand this. This is because Noah, look, Noah was a just man, it says, or he was righteous. He was perfect, and like I talked before, we're not talking about he was spotless before God because he walked in the light he had. He did what God showed him to do and what he knew he believed and walked in. To him, it's perfect. I had the thing with God dealt with me when I was a young Christian, and I've used this story before, but I got over into things where, man, I just looked at myself as missing it. It's one of the things I was expecting out of myself to walk where I didn't know enough to walk. But I was really dealing myself hard. And I got over it. I just saw myself as just failing. As just not doing, you know, just things. And the Lord spoke to me then one day. And I heard these words. He said, your heart's perfect toward me. And I literally thought it was the devil. I literally thought it was the devil trying to tell me, because I thought, well, I've done this, I messed up here. I was looking at myself. He said, your heart's perfect toward me. And I thought, that had to be the devil. Get behind me, Satan. And the word said that the next time. It said it the second time. And again, I thought it was the devil. I thought it was the devil trying to keep me, because I'm thinking the whole time, man, that's not me. And the Lord said, you look at your heart. He said, you love me with all your heart. And then he said, I don't judge you after the flesh, I judge you after your heart. And he said, you quit judging yourself by the outward man. If you're going to judge yourself concerning your flesh, you do it from your heart, not the opposite way. So most people do. See, and Christianity does this all the time. A person gets messed up in sin, a Christian, and they'll say, their heart ain't right. It ain't about their heart, that's their flesh doing that. Their heart toward God is all right. It's their flesh they got to deal with. And these preachers, they take an Old Testament scripture who men who weren't saved talking about people's hearts not right toward God. The heart is always to do evil. If your heart's always to do evil, you're going to hell. You're lost. You don't belong to Christ. No Christian, no born-again Christian, heart is to do evil all the time. That's never happened. But see, people don't ever develop spiritually. They don't ever come in contact. They let the outer man dominate them all the time. And it's so noisy with the flesh, they don't listen to the inner man. And what they do is they live by the outside. And don't pay any attention to the inside. And the inside man's trying to tell them to knock it off. But they can't hear it because they're too busy feeding the flesh, keeping the flesh running. Hallelujah. We're children of God. I want to tell you about, because there says Noah walked with God. And let me tell you, walk with God is about a fellowship with God. That's what your walk is. You're walking out the Word, but you can't walk out the Word without fellowship with God. And this is what we need to do. This is why the deception that's being taught today about we don't have to repent. It uses 1 John 1:9 to say that's for sinners and that stuff. That kind of lies that are being done is hugely destructive to Christian, because those scriptures are not talking about a sinner, it's talking about a saint in fellowship with God. Because if we look at 1 John in the first chapter, and I want to look at that, we'll close there with that, we'll come back next week we'll go this far, but we're going to be going some more here, some things about this with Noah, because we'll lay a foundation. But in 1 John, I want you to see this, because God is calling us to the ark. That's what he's doing. He's calling us to the ark. And it requires fellowship. That's what fellowship, you know, does. We, you know, get in fellowship with God. God wants you in fellowship with him. And as you're walking with him, this is God. This is God's plan. So in 1 John, I want to, in the first chapter there, I want to start at verse 5. Now, this is John writing. Now, he's telling us, in verse 5, he said, this is the message which we have heard from him. He's speaking Jesus. Jesus preached this message. Jesus did. And declare to you that this, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. Now, listen what he says. Now, listen to this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. See, he's talking about fellowship. He couldn't be talking about sinners. Sinners can't have fellowship with God. They've got to get born again. Now, he's talking here about fellowship. He's not talking about sonship. You can be a child of God and not have fellowship with God. Noah walked with God, or he was in fellowship with God. He had a walk with God. He's in fellowship with him. Why? He's walking in the light. He's walking in the light of the Word. He's a man of faith. See, this is what faith is. Faith can't walk in darkness, or it ain't faith. Faith. It's not. So, he says, what? Fellowship with him. He says, walk in darkness. He said, we lie and don't practice the truth. If I say I'm in fellowship with God and I'm walking in darkness, I'm not in fellowship with God. I didn't say I'm a Christian, so I'm not a Christian anymore. No, it's just saying you're not in fellowship. Why? You need to understand this. You cannot walk with God and you'll miss the ark, not in fellowship with God. Fellowship's everything to knowing what God's doing. No person that doesn't have fellowship with God, no Christian can have been walking outside of fellowship and actually be knowing what God's doing and understanding, walking God's plan for their life. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. You can't do it. You can't be in darkness and do that. Our whole thing, the greatest thing that you and I have, is our fellowship with God. The whole point the Holy Spirit was put in you wasn't to just have somebody to take up some space. The whole thing is about fellowship with God. We're designed to fellowship with God. That's where we're at. We're supposed to be like Adam. We don't have to wait till the cool of day. We can get up in the cool of the morning, a hot day afternoon, or whatever we want to do. We can fellowship with God. And we do that by continually to walk in the light. So he said, if a person is walking in darkness, you know, they do themselves a disservice by lying and say they aren't. Well, they're doing themselves a disservice, because we know if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you, what? From unrighteousness. Why? Because you're righteous and you have unrighteous acts. You've got to get them out of the way so it doesn't affect fellowship. Verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light, now this is what it says, we're walking in light. If I'm walking in light, what? I'm in fellowship. As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now listen to what he says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You can't get your sins forgiven till you get back in fellowship. You admit that you're wrong. You admit you're out of line. Admit that you're in the sin. That brings you back to fellowship. Now you can get the blood to cleanse you. See, we have this thing here. This is many people. I ask God to forgive me, but they go live the way that they are. Sorry, that is not forgiveness. You'll never get forgiveness out of that. You got to come to fellowship. Then the blood. Then the blood. You come back and say, hey, I admit I messed up. I admit I'm wrong. I admit I did wrong, Lord. You know, he said you confess your sin. He didn't say, you know, to ask him to forgive you. He said, just admit what you did wrong. That's what confession is there. It just means admit what you did. That's what you admit what you did. Hey, we're back in the boat together. You're as clean as you were before. It's great. I mean, it's an easy thing. But see, we have this thing of, well, you just ask God to forgive you and then you just go on. Oh, I'm sorry. You got to come back to fellowship. You got to stop and say, hey, I'm out of line. And I'm coming back to walk in the light. You got to walk in the light for the blood to cleanse you. That's what the scripture says, doesn't it? At least my Bible does. Maybe I have a wrong translation. You don't hear that preached. Because it don't fit the doctrine of the day. We don't tell people that. Sorry, if you ain't fellowship, you got to come to fellowship. How do you do that? Admit you're wrong. Admit I blew it. Brings me back to fellowship. As long as you won't admit you did wrong, you can't get back in fellowship. You're going to stay in darkness. That's why many Christians never get fixed. I just made a mistake. No, you didn't. The Bible calls it sin. The Bible don't call it mistake. You didn't make a mistake, you sin. Get back in fellowship with God. That's what he's calling for, fellowship. Because why? That's the place of safety. That's the ark. You and I walk in fellowship with God. That's the place of our... People walking in fellowship with God avoid judgment. Hallelujah. See, that's why you want to walk in fellowship. That's the most wonderful thing, because we miss it. We can get it fixed instantly. You don't have to wait for years to get nothing straightened out. You can get it fixed instantly. Get right back in fellowship. Stay in safety. Why? Because judgment. We're in judgment days, and Christians are having judgment fall on them just like the world. They aren't doing any better than the world does. Generally, most Christians aren't. They're not doing any better than the world does. They ain't any more feel any more secure or anything else. They don't feel, they're walking around out here, you know. My God, all this stuff going on. What's going on out here? The Bible tells us what's going on so you and I can walk and live in a place of safety. See, we're living in the last days, and we're talking about this because we need to be aware. We need to know the time that we're living. I'm planning on leaving. And Jesus had told Kenneth Hagin one time about asking people, inviting people to go along with him. Because we're leaving. You know, the church that's staying ain't asking the church people to go along anywhere. Because, you know, they don't even like it here, don't even know what's going on. They ain't asking anybody. They wouldn't know where to go. But we're leaving. And number one, if we believe we're leaving, we need to know we're going to go. I really wonder how many Christians really believe they're going to heaven. Believe if we're going to leave, Jesus is going to go, and we're just going to glory. How many of them believe? I'm going to tell you what, I'd take up a busload tonight if he'd let me. I'd go. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. And what's going on in these times, I'm going to tell you what. I'm not afraid. It doesn't matter what's happening, what people are doing. It don't matter about persecution. It don't matter about these things, what people are thinking about happening. We need to keep ourselves focused. If we do, we'll maintain our joy. Hallelujah. You know, they say they're going to kill you. Say, don't just send me to heaven early. Let's get it going. Hallelujah. You know? But you know, we need to be able to invite people somewhere. And we're going to have to preach a gospel that is different than 90% of the gospel that's preached today by what we even call evangelists. We have such a mushy gospel preached that we're not dealing... People, I tell you what, I believe people would come in droves. Because if people understand... See, I know why we're in, what's going on today. The Bible. You know, there's things that I'm going to go on and teach that I taught years and years back when first starting in the church. Got criticism for it because it was too negative for people. You got to be more positive. But you're telling the Bible. And you're telling the New Testament. People don't want to hear it. People didn't want to be ready for the end. No, we're going to live here forever. Because they had big name ministers talking about, oh, no. At the end, everything's going to be wonderful and great. It's all going to be exciting. You know, we're going to have here at the end, the church is going to take over all the businesses and all the stuff, and we're going to be running everything. They were preaching that back then in the 1980s. They were preaching that, this Kingdom Now stuff. It's coming back again. It's making another trip. And I learned this over time. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, doctrines will always come back over again. See, this sloppy grace doctrine, this was being warned of back in the 1980s, because people were starting to push the sloppy grace doctrine back then about the First John was for the sinners, it wasn't for the saint. See, they were trying to push that back then. Well, that sloppy thing came around again. A guy in Singapore picked it up, and then he turned around and published books on the things, and everybody jumped on the boat. Same old junk. See, the devil just brings, he don't try something. There's never nothing new. Same old doctrines come around. Same old junk comes back again. It's like clothing styles, you know? My words, the stuff that we were wearing back years ago, now they're bringing out today as a new style. People think it's something cool. Dear God, it was ugly then, and it's ugly today. Dear God. Something new. Ain't nothing new coming around. Man, I have lived long enough to see hardly a thing new. I mean, it's same old, same old. A bunch of people come up with the same, different new ideas. Today in education, they have these new ideas. Same stuff that I saw failed back years ago in education. And they're bringing it back again today. We got a new idea. And it's going to be another failure. It's going to set kids back another 20 years. You know, it don't matter. But we're going, oh man, we're just as smart. Oh yeah, we know what to do to make it work. Yep, we got it. I'm going to tell you, without God, you ain't making anything work. The world is doomed for failure. It is doomed to failure. It cannot succeed. Impossible. It will not succeed. It will fail. The plans of man all will fail and will be destroyed. All of them will. We got to come to that understanding. This world is a toilet being flushed. And you know what? God's toilet don't clog. It all goes down. And this whole thing is going down. People need to understand that. That might sound like a funny way to, but I'm going to tell you, this is what's exactly happened. The world system is doomed to failure, and anybody who's hooked to it is going to fail with it. They're going to fail with it because it's doomed to failure. We're seeing it. The dividing line's coming. It's like, get in the ark. Hallelujah. We're in the ark, aren't we? And we're going to stay in the ark. We're preparing ourselves. We're looking to God. This is what we want. And we need to know. Don't let people guide you away to something else. You stay with the Word of God. You follow God. You stay in the ark. You walk with God. That's what we do. Kenneth Hagin's ministry. Now, Kenneth Hagin, his mother, Jesus told his mother this. He didn't tell him. He was born. Before he was born, his mother, Jesus appeared to him and told her. Like, she didn't obey, just scared tar out of her. She was really, was a Christian, but very nominal Christian and that stuff in her time. But when he was born, Jesus appeared to her and said to her, that talking about her son's ministry, that he was going to be like John the Baptist to this generation that he was coming to get, his purpose was, is to get his people ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That was his purpose. Now, he didn't have a ministry like John from the standpoint, John the Baptist in himself fulfilled his call. It wasn't to other people. But Kenneth Hagin's ministry wasn't that. He was to raise up people to get ready, get people ready. He got people. His anointing that was on him went to others also. My job, because God sent me there to that place, God sent me. My job is to get God's people ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Everybody wants, we got to reach the world, reach the world. You don't reach God's people, you ain't reaching the world. They reach the world. The preacher's job is to get people ready in these days for the return of Christ. To get you ready so you're in the boat. That you're in the boat 7 days before the judgment comes. See, people need to understand what we're doing and the purpose of all this. And the church hasn't been doing it. The church has continued on like everything's running the same. We've been focused so much on politics and on elections and all this kind of thing. And the kingdom of God has been on the back burner someplace. We have all these things of prophecy said over the years that God spoke and nobody's following or walking in them. And yet they spoke directly to our time and nobody's paying any attention. All they look at them and say, aren't they neat? Man, I've had prophecies. When I find something that speaks, when God speaks to me in a prophecy, I take that prophecy and I pray over it. I have couples of prophecies that I have prayed and prayed hours and hours over those things. Because, see, I want what's in there to speak to me. Paul told Timothy, and you need to, that's why I bring prophecies the church put down. It ain't for fun reading. It's back there for your spiritual development. And if you don't learn that, you won't learn nothing from it. It is back there for that purpose. Because Paul told Timothy that he was going to fight a good fight. Because of he would pay attention, meditate on the prophecies that were spoken about him to him from his elders. The things God said to him. See, what God speaks to me is hugely important because that's how you fight a good warfare. This is the failure of the church. We've had loads of prophecies that try to set us in a direction and the church just waits for another prophecy. They were more interested in somebody telling who the president was going to be than they were what God said what they could be. Chasing after everything but God. Hallelujah. It was good preaching, folks. This is good preaching. See, I want you to get a hold of this. This is why I don't bring prophecies in the church. Don't speak to me. They don't speak to me. I don't. When I know that they're speaking to me. Now, some prophecies might speak to other people, to other things. But I bring in what speaks to me because it's the direction we're going. It's where we're going. And I pray because why? There are things that need to come to pass. There are things that need to happen. Time and time again, I've had Randy Greer lay hands on me. And when he lays hands on me, he'll say things that are exactly in line with prophecies I've been praying over and telling God that I want that. You said that's going to happen. I expect that to happen. You said it in your word. And he'll speak it over me. Never, you don't know at all what I've been praying and what I've been doing. But the Spirit of God will come and verify it. I was down the last time. I'd been praying because the fire of God fallen. I was reading over Brother Hagin's prophecy. The Lord has kept speaking to me about this one prophecy. I got it out. And I started praying about that. I talked to the Lord about this prophecy. What about this thing? And I asked him about that prophecy. And Randy Greer laid hands on me and he said, the fire is going to come down on you and you're going to burn up. See, I've been praying about it. I've been looking at this prophecy. You know, I was looking at that prophecy and one prophecy talked about a thing of agreeing. Two people agreeing in a nation. Now, I'm going to tell you, you just can't do this in general. You better know you have anointing of God to do it. I've been praying about that and I kept asking God, why do you have me reading this prophecy about this? Why do you have me doing that? And I'd pray about it. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? I can see it. It has to be true. You said it. How can I do it? And here, Ken Kasich's having trouble over in Estonia. And the Lord said, to solve his problem over there, you give him this prophecy and tell him if two agree on there, you bring that government thing under control. But I'm going to tell you, now, I did that. There was an anointing on me to do it. You just don't up and do those kinds of things. And I told him to do it. I told him what to do. I said, you take that prophecy. See, you take that prophecy you had. See, I had prayed over those things, that prophecy. I gave it to him, and then he said about it. He said, I remember this. Yeah, this was a prophecy. And he and the guy got an agreement. He said, would you agree with us? I said, yeah. It says two or three. I said, I'm going to agree with you. And I agree with you. And he said, the next day, things had already changed. You see, this is why we do these things. But understand, we don't do them without the anointing of God. You know, we just don't take things. That's why people see prophecies and they go around, I'm just going to confess it. This thing, a faith confession, has got way out of hand. Because people, you can't do everything by a faith confession. There's things that you're going to have to pray over and meditate over till that thing gets in you. Then you make a confession. We're just running around making confessions. And most of them without any anointing. I have never in my entire Christian walk had a words that I have spoken when the anointing was on me that it didn't come to pass. Never once. When the anointing's there and the power of God's there to bring it to pass, it's another thing to speak out of power than just be talking. Most of confession is talking. People are mostly trying to convince themselves. You wait till you're ready to pull the gun and shoot it. Most people never even load it. They're just pulling triggers. Click, 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 click. Get that thing loaded up. You pull the trigger, it'll blow up. I can give you story time and time again when the anointing came on me. You want to do a certain thing, and you can go through all the motions you want, but then the anointing comes. And it's just like clockwork, it just happens. But wait, once that anointing comes, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes you're going to have to wait till that anointing comes. You have to wait on God till that comes. You know, the Word says, you know, we talk about, you know, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like evil. People, you know, I've heard people over the years, they use those scriptures, and I always think, they ain't going to ever get that. They don't ever spend time waiting on God. They don't ever wait until they get to that scripture, goes off and blows up inside of them, and all of a sudden the anointing's there. Yeah, now they're going to rise up with wings as eagle. No, they just sit around making a confession and just go on in their life. He said the guy who waits on the Lord. That ain't a guy who's waiting on the Lord. What does a waiter do or a waitress do? They ain't waiting for God to serve them. They ain't waiting for somebody to serve. They go serve. You go over and you get in the face of God and just, God, this, here's what your word says, but what do you want? And you go after what, find the mind of God. Find out what he wants. Wait on the Lord. And I tell you, you wait on the Lord, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. Don't be surprised you have an explosion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We could use some, couldn't we? Hallelujah. Let's close. Father, I just want to thank you tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful anointing. Lord God, and your wisdom is unfathomable. You're the most incredible thing. Father, when I think, you know everything. There's nothing that's hidden from you. Lord God, nobody could ever ask you a question you wouldn't know the answer to. Nobody could ever. There couldn't be anything. A billion years in the future, there's nothing hidden from you. And Lord God, we have the wonderful opportunity to come and sit down and fellowship with you and talk with you. Oh, my God. Boy, have we wasted our time, Lord. Hallelujah. You're incredible. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord God, for anointing our lives. Hallelujah. Lord God, enlighten us in these things as we look into them. Lord God, we want to be a people that are just full of strength in these last days. Lord God, we want a people who be a people who know our direction, know where we're going, knowing what's going on. Lord God, we want to be leaders, Lord God. We want people to be able to see, my God, there's people who know what they're doing and know where they're headed. Lord, there's loads of people that are looking for something to follow out here. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I want to thank you. You're going to give us, hallelujah, the ability through your great grace to walk before you. Lord God, Noah ain't got nothing on us. We're the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're born of God. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord God. I want to thank you that we can look at Noah. We can learn from him. Thank God. I appreciate what he did, Lord God, in his walking by faith. And Lord God, righteousness prevailed to our day. Hallelujah. Because of where he walked. And Lord God, we're going to pick it up and take it farther. Hallelujah. We're going to walk on a greater distance with it. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.